to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. Hello, and in today's episode of People Like Us, I'm delighted to be joined by Marion Lougheed. Marion, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. So, as always, and I know I always say this, but the opening question is, would you like to tell me about where you grew up?
Okay, so I was born in Canada in a province called Prince Edward Island, and I lived there until I was seven. And then we moved to Cotonou, Benin in West Africa. And I lived there for 5 years until I was 12. And then we went back to PEI, Prince Edward Island in Canada. And then just for 1 year. And then I moved to Belgium for 2 years and then Germany for 3 years. And then I was 18 and I came back to Canada.
And have you stayed in Canada since then?
Mostly, yeah. I spent a little bit of time in Belgium, less than a year, but probably about 8 months since then. But yeah, mostly I've been in Canada, different parts of Canada. Canada's really big, so it's been all across and different cities and areas.
Sure. I visited only Vancouver myself in Canada, but I understand there is vast difference between the provinces.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is the second biggest country in the world, so it's a lot of variation.
That makes sense, for sure. So Canada to West Africa, back to Canada, Belgium, Germany, back to Canada. What was that like for you growing up, moving on? I noticed as I asked you the question, where did you grow up? You did the classic, and then we moved to.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, I mostly liked it. Oh, I was very young when we left Canada for the first time, right? I was seven. Mm. So to me, living in Africa was sort of normal. Like that was where I was growing up. And we lived there for 5 years. So it was enough time, you know, 7 to 12 years old. Like that was kind of my home at that time. I didn't have very vivid memories of Canada. I mean, I remembered certain things. I remembered the snow and the, you know, certain people and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I went back that I sort of re-remembered a lot of the places and people. So at that time, living in Africa was just, it was just my life, you know, it was normal. My sister actually said one time while we were living in Africa to my mother, she said, "Oh, I wish I had an exciting life." And she was reading the Little House on the Prairie books. She was like, "I wish I had a life like Laura." And my mom said, "You're in Africa." So, you know, being a child is just normal, right, at first. But then leaving Africa was okay. I didn't find it too stressful, although I did have a lot of culture shock when I went back to Canada, especially in school. I found it hard to just talk to people. I mean, there were a lot of really nice people that befriended me in the class, and it was great, and the teachers were fine, you know, there was no problems, but it was just, I was uncertain about how to behave a lot of the time. And then going to Belgium, that was when it was starting to be hard. So I had a little bit of a hard time in Belgium. I think a lot of people have a hard time at that age anyways, yeah. Sort of your early teens, 13 to 15.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a great time for most people. So I had some good experiences there for sure. And again, it was, you know, everywhere has pros and cons for different people, but that was okay. But then by the time we were moving to Germany, I wanted to stay in Belgium because I had enough time to settle in there and I didn't want to move again. And also I'm the youngest in my family. So all my siblings were gone. So it was just me and my mom at that point. And I think that was the hardest move. But then ultimately I ended up really loving it in Germany after I had been there for a while and learned the language. I went to a local high school. So that was a challenge, but it was good. It was really good because I was really in the community. I wasn't sort of on the fringe of the community. So just getting to know local people who, you know, they just hung out. And again, lots of people really nice befriended me and tried to talk to me even when I couldn't say anything and stuff like that. I find everywhere there's people like that, like there's people trying to help you out. So that was always a good thing. But overall, I think it was a good experience. Like I didn't have a lot of really negative feelings about it, except for immediately after moving, it was always a bit hard to integrate, especially going to the local schools, I think, because they weren't equipped for that.
Well, what do you think they made of you, particularly when you arrived in Germany, having lived in a few places, a good chunk of you growing up that you would have remembered having been in Africa, which is obviously so far removed from Germany?
Yeah, I think they were a little confused, because I remember for a long time they thought I was from Belgium. Mm-hmm. And they thought I was a native French speaker because I spoke French fluently. And in the school in Germany, they had a French immersion kind of program. So I was in this stream where I would have French classes, but also have history in French and other classes in French. And so I was very advanced compared to a lot of the other students. So I think they thought I was a native French speaker for a long time from Belgium. And then they kind of figured it out that, oh no, she's from Canada, because that's, you know, where I am from, ostensibly. although I do have dual citizenship, so it's always very complicated to say, as you can understand.
Yeah, you know, the classically hard question, where are you from?
Yeah.
how do you deal with that question these days?
I try to gauge people's interests. Like, you know, sometimes people are just sort of making conversation. So I'll usually say, being in Canada, people think I'm from Canada, and that's what my passport says, I'm from Canada. And I've been here long enough to kind of blend in. And I kind of will say, oh, I was born in PEI, Prince Edward Island, but I grew up in lots of places. That's my kind of go-to answer. And then if people are interested, then they'll ask, oh, like where, you know, they'll ask follow-up questions, and then they'll get into it. Well, you know, we lived here and here and the whole spiel. But generally, if people don't follow up, then I just leave it at that because it doesn't matter.
I'm interested because you mentioned having lived in West Africa from the age of 7 until you were 12, which for me almost mirrors the chunk of time that I lived in Africa. I was on the other side in East Africa between 8 and 13. And I felt that those years really shaped me, and I had very fond memories and found it quite difficult when I moved to Australia after that. When you think of your time in Africa, what stands out for you?
Yeah, I think it was a really formative time. I did go to an international school for 4 of the 5 years I was there. So it was a small school. It was kind of an old style international school. A lot of them now are kind of like big sort of corporate institutions, but it was very like ad hoc, small. There was probably about 40 students from nursery school up to grade 7 or 8. You know, mixed grade classes with 6 or 7 people in them, that sort of thing. So that was really great. I was really lucky to have that experience because it was people from all over the world, different parts of Africa especially, but everywhere. And that was really great. I do have a lot of fond memories of Benin because, well, I was there a long time, like I said, and it was home, right? It was the place where I lived and I was familiar with it. I think that being that age, I wasn't really aware of any of the problems that might have been going on there or risks, or like I didn't really think about that stuff. I mean, everywhere has that, right? But when you're a child, you don't really feel that as much, or at least I didn't. I was sort of protected from any problems. I mean, not that Africa has more problems than anywhere else, but there were some, in hindsight now, I know there was some political turmoil at the time that was going on there. It was just kind of starting up when we left. And I didn't really know about that. So I was great. Like, I thought it was really great. I've had a lot of freedom. I was safe. There were always people around on the streets, you know, like you never had to be worried about anything like that. And it was formative. In my last year, I went to a local school. It was a French curriculum from France. It was also a very small school. And that was great because, again, I got to meet more people that were from there, living there, like sort of more normal lives, which I like. You know, I think international schools are great. And I'm doing my PhD research on international schools, and they're very, you know, there's a lot of value to those institutions for sure. But there is research that shows that they can keep people out of their local community a little bit because they're kind of their own community with other international schools. And it's a very rich community in terms of the value of it. But there is a little bit of a barrier there. Sometimes, you know, some families obviously will be very integrated in their local communities. That's going to vary. But just the setup of it, I think. But yeah, the thing about Africa, as I'm sure you found as well, is when you talk about it to people who haven't been there, they often just kind of don't know what to say. It's so off their radar. So that's kind of my subsequent experience. It's really hard to kind of get people to understand what it was like, just as normal life. You know, there wasn't anything exciting. It was just normal life. But it was interesting. You know, it was very different from Canada, say, or for other places.
Yeah, I'd say there's something about there's just a different way of life there. And if you've been there, you know. And if you haven't, then I guess you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So having spent your growing up in, you know, different continents, different countries, and now staying in Canada. Yes, Canada is a big country, as you say, and there's vast differences across the provinces. Do you feel a desire to go and live in other countries again, or are you a bit more content to stay put, or something else?
Yeah, I definitely feel the urge to go somewhere else. I mean, Canada's great in lots of ways, like everywhere, but I have that for sure. I mean, I would like to go back to Africa, actually, because it's been a very long time. I left there in the year 2000, so that's a while ago now. I'm sure it's changed a lot, but it would be really interesting to go back and see some of the old places, see what it's like now, and just kind of refresh that a little bit. But other than that, I mean, as I mentioned, for my research, I'm studying international schools, and I was supposed to be in Germany right now, but there was a pandemic that interfered. So I'm kind of waiting to go there, and that will be more of an extended stay, like at least 6 months, maybe up to a year. So I'm really looking forward to that, going back to Germany. It would be a different part of Germany, but that's just getting out of Canada, just visiting other places. The thing about being ostensibly local is what people think, as I'm sure you've encountered many times, is that people have certain expectations of you. Whereas if people perceive you as foreign, you can sort of get away with being weird a bit more, because people think, well, they're just weird, they're just foreign. and so I find that's one of the downsides for me being in Canada. Some people don't really understand that, yes, I'm from Canada, but not really. Like, I didn't have the same experiences, the same pop culture, the same trajectory as a lot of other people. And so they'll make references to stuff or just have certain ways of being that they don't even realize are sort of cultural ways of being. So it's a little bit there's a little bit more pressure, I think, when you're perceived as local, when you don't feel local. Whereas if you're foreign, then sometimes people will give you more allowances, I think.
Yeah, I hear you. It's like there's an expectation of how you should be depending on where somebody thinks that you're from. And it's a question I often ask in these podcasts is, you know, where do you feel the most foreign? Where do you feel the most at home? And time and time again, it's often more comfortable to feel like a foreigner because it's just easier. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends on where, because, you know, in different places, there's probably greater or lesser degrees of welcome towards foreigners, especially different kinds of foreigners, right? So, like, I would be perceived as white mostly. And so that's a benefit in a lot of contexts, right? And so even being in Canada, there's still a lot of racism that goes on, and I'm of the sort of dominant group, and that makes it easier, right? So it's very contextual, I think, about feeling at home for me, because everywhere has degrees of expectation for foreigners as well, and different kinds of foreigners. And it's, I don't know. I think I can feel at home pretty much anywhere once I've kind of settled in, I would say that. I haven't lived in that many places. Obviously, the world is huge. But from my experiences, I think maybe because I lived there for a long time, I think Western Europe feels very comfortable for me. I tend to be very direct and blunt, and that doesn't always go over well in Canada. It's a much more polite sort of climate a lot of the time, which is great in lots of ways. People are very warm. People want to make sure that things are okay, right? But there's just sort of a difference there that can be a little bit of a culture clash. And so I like, in Germany in particular, people mostly just say what they mean. And so even if it's not very nice sometimes, at least you know where you stand, right? That's a preference for me personally. I think there's merit in different ways of being, but for my personality, I think that works well. And so that would probably be what I would say. But being a foreigner is definitely comfortable in certain ways. I think knowing the language and being a foreigner is better than not knowing the language, because that can be hard to navigate as well.
Oh, yes. And I hear you there, having recently moved to Italy and struggling to keep up with the language. It's early days of learning. So, yes, I definitely hear you on that point. So in terms of home, then, what would you say you need to have in order for you to feel at home somewhere?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I mean, I have a long-term partner. We've been together for almost 10 years. So obviously that would be important if he was there. But other than that, I guess there's just certain kinds of places, like physical layouts of places that are more comfortable. So, you know, there's certain, like, I like walking. So I like towns that are walkable rather than driving. Being able to go to cafes or restaurants or stuff like that. So it's more about the kind of the space, like having lots of nature around is really nice in the town, because some towns don't have any trees. So I kind of relate to the space that way, but really it's people, and I'm not actually really sure how to answer that question, because I think that I don't have anything that has to be there, you know, like it's more about people, how people are, or if there's ways to integrate and find people that I can relate to. Everywhere has people that will be interesting and nice. And so just finding those people, I guess, speaking the language, like I said, so it's more like those kinds of things, like having the tools and the kind of familiarity which you gain after a certain amount of time, that you feel like you know the place and the people. And other than that, I don't have things that I need to have. I mean, I obviously own things, but they're not sort of essential for making a place. I know some people, like my mom, when we moved around, she would have certain things that she would put on the wall, or certain you know, she had her photo albums and like certain things like that, that kind of would make the house feel like the same place, you know, because it had the same decorations and stuff like that. But I don't really do that so much.
Do you have, I don't know, souvenirs or things from the different places that you've lived?
Not really, actually. I have a cloth that I got in Africa, you know, like the cloth that they wear wrapped around their waists usually, but also can be used for many things, or to nap on or to put on the table. Or so I have one of those. I guess it's kind of like a souvenir. It's also a practical item, but it was from there. Like my mom bought it for me when we were there. So there's that. I don't really have anything from... I do find when I come across euros, I have a sentimental feeling about it. Euros. So that's, I guess that's, could be like a souvenir kind of, but no, I don't know. I don't really have a lot of stuff like that. I mean, I do understand the attachment to it, the sort of emotional attachment, but I think I've just moved too many times now, even as an adult on my own. And so I've just always had to be purging stuff, getting rid of stuff. And I don't have a driver's license, so I don't drive. So I need to like have the minimum amount of stuff when I move. Mm-hmm. And so I've just gotten rid of a lot of stuff. I do have some photo albums. I mean, that's something, old photo albums from back when photos were physical objects.
Sure. I remember the days. Yeah, I hear you. With all the moves, it's easier if you have less stuff to cart around. And I can speak from the experience of just having made a recent move after being in the same home for 11 years, which was my all-time record. I don't want to look at another packing box for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on languages then, I'm guessing you speak a few languages. So what, English, French, German?
Yeah, that's basically it. I speak a little bit of Dutch from living in Belgium. Belgium is French and Flemish, which is a form of Dutch, as you probably know. So I had that in school for a couple years when I was there. And my mom's family, like her parents' family, is also Flemish, so they live in Belgium. And so she knew a little bit of that growing up. But yeah, I like learning languages. I've started using Duolingo, the language app, to learn to refresh my German, because I'm going to be going back there and I haven't used it in a long time. So I thought that would be good. And that's helpful. But I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll learn Spanish, or maybe I'll learn Farsi or something, you know, like it's so I do like learning languages. So I wouldn't say it's the end.
For sure. Yes, I'm very familiar with Duolingo. That's helping me along tremendously with my Italian, I must say. You mentioned, Marion, that you were the youngest of your siblings. So the elder siblings that you have, what have they done? Have they stayed put in Canada, or have they kept moving? What's it been like for them?
So my oldest brother, so I have two brothers and a sister. They're all older. My oldest brother was already almost 16 when we first moved to Africa. He's 9 years older than me. So he had a bit of a hard time with the transition. He had lived in the same place until then. And, you know, being a teenager and just, you know, his sort of way of life and way of being. So he actually ended up going back to Canada soon, like just a few months after we had moved to Africa. To live with my dad, because my parents were divorced. So he didn't really spend a lot of time moving around the way we did. Mm-hmm. He ended up living in different parts of Canada, and he also lived in Colombia for a little while on his own as an adult. But now he's very settled in one place. He'll probably be there forever. And then my second brother, he was with us in Africa, and then he was there for about 3 years, I think. And then he also went back to Canada as a teenager, around 16, to finish high school and also live with my dad. And he's been in Canada pretty much ever since then. My sister moved more because she was closer to me in age. She's 2.5 years older. So she was with us in Africa. And then she went back to Canada. Well, I say back, but it was a different province. So she went to Canada for a year. She was in Africa for 4 years. I was there for 5 years. So she went to a boarding school in Canada for a year and then came in Ontario and then came to PEI with us when we came back. And then she went to Belgium, and she didn't move to Germany because she finished her high school in Belgium and she went to Canada to do university. But she did come to Germany for a summer for 4 months to visit and stay with us. So she's been more mobile. She's been doing medical school. So she's been kind of on this path where she has to stay in one place. Mm-hmm. And it's a long path, as I'm sure you know. So she's been doing that mostly. But she did spend a year in South Korea, and she went to Guatemala for one of her medical electives. So she's been trying to, you know, stay moving. But yeah, she hasn't, just because of her career trajectory and the options that she had with that, she's been more sedentary. But I know that she often wants to go other places.
Sure. And you mentioned also your PhD that you're doing at the moment, your research on international schools. Is that anything to do with your career?
Yeah, so I'm doing a PhD in social anthropology. So that's kind of what I've been doing now for the last few years. Also a long haul. Mm-hmm. But career is, I feel like most people's careers are a little bit more fragmented now than they used to be. So I hesitate to use that word since I don't know how it's going to go when I'm done, but that's an option for sure. But it's, I'm kind of just doing it now because it's interesting. And I think the research that I'm hoping to do is on how kids in international schools actually relate to the nation or the nation state and nationalism and citizenship and things like that. So I think that could be quite interesting, not just for anthropologists, you know, as an academic pursuit, but also as for parents and for teachers. And, you know, because we're seeing this kind of rise of this very right-wing kind of ethno-nationalism in various places around the world. Yeah. And so Germany obviously has a very interesting political history, not just talking about the Nazis, but just the frequent changes in government over the 20th century. There were 5 different forms of government in East Germany in particular. And so there's a lot of legal discussion about heritage and citizenship and who is German and who is not, and what is an immigrant and all these kinds of things. And so it's interesting to me to see how the kids in the school who are obviously having a lot of complex exposure to different ways of being because they're in an international school and it's fostering this worldly awareness, how they're kind of navigating this stuff that's happening on the ground where they live. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to look at. Whether it turns into a career, we'll see.
Well, I wish you best of luck with your studies.
Thank you.
Marion, we're coming to the end of our time here together. Can you tell me about one of the best things that you say you've experienced because of your TCK upbringing?
One of the best things, I think sort of vague, but I think just meeting lots of different kinds of people. I think it's made me very adaptable to situations and given me a sense that I can handle things. If it's, you know, if something is unfamiliar or if I don't know what someone is trying to say, you know, I can sort of have that. And I think just seeing how everywhere you go, like I said, people are kind, people are welcoming, people want you to feel comfortable and they're curious, they want to know about you. And I think that's sort of heartwarming. I think we can sort of fall into this very negative worldview these days. There's a lot of this sort of And for good reason, in some cases, there are a lot of issues, obviously, but there are a lot of people that are very quietly being really good people. And I think that that's something that I was lucky to experience in different places.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for how we project ourselves and how we invite people to respond to us. But as you say, often people are kind, welcoming. Mm-hmm. We need to go with that. Mm-hmm. Marion, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.